Hello, 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 and welcome to Tease Me. This is a podcast about the intersection of golf, business, and life. And occasionally we'll drop some gems on networking and just how that makes your life better. Because knowing more than one person is actually a good thing. Hello, Tease Me listeners. It is August in New York City. It's actually Harlem Week, which kind of turns into Harlem Month. And there are plenty of concerts and pop-up shows and vendors and just an excitement around being in Harlem during this week and this month. It's also a great time for golf, early morning golf before the humidity hits, because you get to enjoy the sun, you enjoy the weather, and the grass is probably the greenest it will be until next year. So as you prepare to say goodbye to summer, make it the best. Go play some golf. Take a lesson. Forget that. Just play best ball and have an awesome time. Sign up for some tournaments, drink too much at the open bar, and just have a really, really good time, because before you know it, it'll be Christmas. On another note, I'm pretty excited about this first annual African American Golf Expo in Georgia. So I might head down there and check out the sites and see what there is to offer. I'll keep you posted. And in full transparency, I must say I am slightly concerned about going into a public space with a bunch of people for an expo. Yes, I am vaccinated, and you know, kudos to whoever decided not to or decided to, like, it's all your choice, live your life. And this is not a public service announcement, but there is some concern about the way we socialize. And while this podcast is not a public service announcement, it is about the intersection of business life and golf. And this COVID virus is at the intersection of all things interaction, which can impact all things business. So I felt it worthwhile to discuss. Now, while I am traveling on Delta Airlines, no offense to Delta Airlines and the Delta variant, I'm rambling. But I'd say be safe, be vigilant, and have as much fun as you can right now outdoors, because soon we have to go back inside. Okay, the other thing is be in good health. And that's why today's guest is Taj Harris. As you might have guessed, I met Taj playing golf at an outing. Recognized as a conscientious professional, Taj Harris is a detail-oriented leader with over 20 years of proven results in management, teaching, personal training, and public speaking. She is a naturally active, sexy tomboy, foodie, and fitness professional who fell in love with empowering others to find their balance with fitness and life over 20 years ago. Born and raised in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, her love of fitness started in high school while working part-time as a receptionist at a women's-only gym. She had no idea that she'd eventually become a group fitness instructor, personal trainer, and master yoga trainer. Over the years, she has also had the opportunity to present internationally, author several fitness manuals, be featured in online workouts, and create fitness classes for international gym franchises. Taj has been featured on CW11, Fox, CBS, ABC Nightline, Good Morning America, and Live with Kelly and Ryan. She also contributed or was featured in Jane Magazine, Oprah.com, Women's Health Magazine, Self Magazine, Reuters, Men's Health Magazine, and the New York Times. Taj is an avid runner who's participated in over a half a dozen marathons across the U.S. and is a three-time participant in the New York City Marathon. She enjoys cycling, salsa dancing, cooking, gardening, and hiking. Future goals include biking from New York City to Montauk and San Francisco to L.A. You can catch her teaching classes 5 days a week virtually through her online platform at www.tajharris.com. The link is in the bio. Her classes include Rise Up Yoga, Cardio and Tone, and her very own class, Symmetry. Let's welcome Taj Harris. So hello, hello, Tease Me listeners. Today we have Taj Harris. And as you heard in the bio, dynamic woman out here transforming bodies and lives. And so Taj, you know, tell us more about like what inspired you to get into this space of fitness.
Oh, hello. Thank you, LJ, for having me. And hello, listeners out there. It's a pleasure to be on the Tease Me podcast. So I was inspired literally by just chance. I was a high school student who was looking for a part-time job because, you know, you're getting of age. I wanted my parents to get me a car, but I had to prove that I was responsible. So I took this job as a receptionist in this women's only fitness facility right next door to the town I lived in Jersey. And my experience of fitness was what I did in high school in gym class, or knowing that, you know, the students played a sport. So to me, that was what fitness was. So I'm sitting at this desk answering these phones, and all of a sudden this lady pops up and she's getting on this stage and music comes on as she's doing what is called aerobics. And I look at these people following her, and I look at her, and I turn to my boss, who happened to be sitting next to me, and literally said to her, I will never forget this woman's name and her facial expression, Linda. I said, Linda, what is that? And so, and she goes, that's aerobics. And I legit said to her, people get paid to do that? And so she smiled and said, yes. She's like, maybe you should try taking a class. So one day when I had some off time, I decided to jump into this class experience, and legit, LJ, I was just like, seriously, I could do this. Like, this is easy. So I did what you were supposed to do at the time, way back when. I am a 30-year veteran. I can honestly say that I've been doing this for a long time. I did got my credentials, and because I worked there, they gave me a chance and let me start teaching some classes. And this was way before the internet, way before LinkedIn. This was all word of mouth. And all of a sudden, my home phone, right? Because this is also before cell phones. My home phone is ringing. People have like heard about me. And I was thinking to myself, wait, okay. I guess I can really do this. And that's kind of how it started. Just being a 17-year-old girl sitting at a receptionist desk answering some phones.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. And like, one of the things I'm seeing a lot of are people trying to like get into fitness or trying to lose their COVID weight that they gained. And what are like some of the things that you're seeing trend wise that you're really embracing?
So you are absolutely right there. COVID is definitely created a upheaval in the need or the desire for people to get into the gym or work out. But you also have, because of COVID, unfortunately, you also have people who are afraid to go back into the gym. So a really big trend now is online training. Peloton has gone through the roof. You have the mirror, you have all these other different things. You have people doing virtual classes like myself. Like, I have a whole virtual platform where people are happy to follow me from the inside of their homes, or, you know, from whatever safe space that they're in. Virtually online 5 days a week. So what I noticed is that everyone who has either been practicing some type of fitness through the COVID situation is still maintaining, still feeling good. Or you have the person that took the COVID break, like legit break from fitness. And now they're, ooh, I'm struggling. Oh, I got to get off this couch. Whoa, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to do this? And my advice to everyone, no matter where you're from, pre-COVID, post-COVID, in COVID, whatever you want to call it, is just get up. Just literally just get up, just get going, find something, someone that helps to inspire you, that motivates you, that makes you want to move, and just start moving. Because that's the hardest part. Once you get going, and if you find that right inspiration, it'll flow.
I love it. My COVID confession is that I am one of the people that stopped moving. And then I tried to do something in the house, and I'm like, it's so boring in here. I'm here all day. I do not want to be here and exercise. So it's a challenge to even get that inspiration. So tell me more about, like, you mentioned, so we met at the golf tournament, and yes, we were talking about how you used to play. Tell us how you got started playing golf.
So in my college career, I went to school, to originally be in medical school. And then I changed directions and started moving in a business direction. So at that time, I was working for an energy trading and marketing company in Atlanta, Georgia, very similar to Enron. And within that organization, there was an opportunity for me to be a part of a group called the African Americans in Energy program. And so there was a gentleman who was the HR director of the company, just so happened to be, who was also on this board. And he started mentoring me. And one of the things he said to me is, you need to learn to play golf. And this is, gosh, 20 years ago. He said, you need to learn to play golf because I see big things in your future and on the golf course is where things happen. So me 20 something, like, all right, I'm in this business. I see myself moving forward. I'm going to be a mover and shaker. I have this mentor. I'm going to learn to play golf. So I started learning. Unfortunately, as mentioned, I was in the industry that was very similar to Enron, and Enron did what they did and crashed our industry and therefore went my job. So I did not pursue what I was doing and my life shifted drastically. So I wasn't able to maintain the opportunity to keep golfing. But, you know, here and there, I might go to a golf driving range and hit a few balls. Like, you know, I love mini miniature golf. That's fun too. But, you know, so that was my thing. And when I saw the event, because I'm in such a different space in my life and just really felt like it was a great opportunity to network and to do something that I actually enjoyed doing before, it was like, what else am I doing? I might as well go do this event. So I decided to sign up and went out there and just had a really good time, left all judgment on the table and enjoyed the whole entire experience from start to finish, including the raindrops.
Yes, yes. You were very, everyone was very courageous because they were out there in the rain. It was pouring rain. And, you know, Taja, she's like, took it like a trooper at this tournament, playing in the rain, just coming back, like talk about commitment. And when I'm looking at golfers, you know, we're all shapes and sizes, all body types. And one of the challenges that I see is people think that, you know, you should work out or you should do certain things to get better at your golf swing. But you having played and being a fitness expert, what are some of the things that you think that golfers can do to improve themselves?
So I agree with you. The golfers come in all shapes and sizes because we are all shapes and sizes. And the greatest thing about golf is it is a sport, right, that you can do for longevity, right? It's not like football where you just can't keep running into people. So or basketball where you just can't keep running up and down the court. It's a paced game. And it is a great way to also kind of approach life. So when you are thinking about your fitness world, I suggest that you approach golf the way you would approach fitness. You want to have finesse. You want to have balance, just like in life. And you want to have balance in your fitness workout. You don't need to go to golf and go to fitness all hard every single day because you're probably not going to progress. You need to have stillness. You need to have quiet. You need to also have peace. And unfortunately, golf is also a one-sided exercise because we're one-handed, right? Some of us are ambidextrous. I'm not one of those people, but for the most part, we're one-sided. So we're constantly doing something on the same side. But I can still tie that back into your life situation because we also do the same things over and over, right? We sit at desk, whatever type of job we have, we operate in that same function. So repetitively, we are stronger on one side than the other. So to get comfortable and also to improve our golf practice, we want to do things that balance us out so that the stronger side doesn't also become the weaker side.
And it's interesting because when I see like people at the range, you're constantly just hitting the ball, hitting the ball, hitting the ball, or the practice is solely based on just your swing. So you have a program called Symmetry. Like, what types of things are you doing that could help people balance that they should be checking out?
Yes. So I created a program called Symmetry, hence the name, which is about balance, right? Being symmetrical. And what I've done with the program is infused high intensity interval style training, so fitness modality plus flexibility work. And within there, we're doing things like opening up the psoas, or working on the back, working on the hips, lengthening the hamstrings, while also building some endurance, building that cardiovascular capacity. Now, granted, you don't need to, you know, be able to sprint through a golf course, but you do need to be able to walk up a few hills every now and then, and depending on where you're golfing at, You might be like, oh, child. And if you're carrying your bag as opposed to riding in a golf cart, that matters as well. So my workout is really designed to give you the perfect balance between both modalities and making sure that we cover your entire body from left to right and top to bottom.
Awesome. Awesome. So like when you're thinking about some of your clients and, you know, everyone listening, I don't know what your fitness journey is, but we're all in different places. And so I'm just wondering, when you're talking to your clients, what are some of the things that they're specifically asking you, and what rumors or myths are you disproving
So the biggest rumor and the myth that I get to disprove, which is also funny to me at the same time, that people are like, oh, I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible enough. So I'm also a master yoga teacher. I've been teaching yoga since 2006, and I'm also a yoga therapist. And my favorite is people that I'm not flexible enough. And I say, well, that's exactly why you should come to yoga. It will help you with your flexibility. Your flexibility also will help you with your strength. And if you want to be stronger, you need to also be flexible so that you can move through. And as you watch like golf videos and you see the rotations on these swingers and, you know, when the players are swinging and when you see how, you know, their body works, you need flexibility. You can't be super stiff. You also need to know how to relax so that you can actually get into that space. So when I get a chance to bring people in and take them through yoga, starting off simple, I'm a proponent of, I'm going to meet you where you are. I'm never going to take a person and say, okay, now you got to look like this. Let's get our foot behind our head. There may be a reason that you want to do that, but if that's not your reason, that's not, you know, what you need, that's not where we're going to go. But I can show you that by doing repetitive, simple, needed stretches, movements, building strength by holding poses, and by doing breath exercises and technique, it will help you physically, which will translate into your regular life, into your sporting life, into your golf life, et cetera.
All right. So I have to ask the question. There are a lot of men that listen and that men that are playing golf, and yoga seems very girly. So why, like, let's go a little bit deeper. Why do you think, because I believe you believe, that sounds weird. I believe you stated that golf is good, like yoga is good for golf, and golf is a good sport for you to see the value and the benefit of doing yoga. And most guys are like, oh, that's a girly thing. I'm not doing all that. So how do you first get rid of that myth? And then tell us more about just golf and yoga.
So one of the reasons why I also created my Symmetry program, to kind of come back to that, is to help to dispel that myth and to help people to see the balance in working out. It's a great way for me to introduce the benefits of yoga because I do it to upbeat rhythmic music. So it might be some Afro beats in there. There may be some house music in there. But most people think, oh, yoga slow, or like you said, yoga girly. I don't have time for that. So if I introduce it in a way that's appealing, appetizing to you, then you can get to see, oh, wow, this is actually working. I had a 70-year-old man taking my Symmetry class. And legit was one of those, I've been working out for years, but I'm too tight for, you know, doing yoga. I can't do it, too many women. And now this man is introduced to yoga virtually, right? And loves it, is there every single week taking my class. And he's not a golfer, but he has to work around, he has a very large estate and he's constantly doing things on his yard, cutting down trees and chopping wood and so forth. So he's using his body and he has seen the benefits of him taking the yoga practice and still being able to do what he does to take care of his house. And the same would apply as a golfer. If I can help you to find that balance, to help you to also balance out the one-sidedness that you're experiencing, help you to get into your mind, to quiet some of that energy, finding breath technique, you'd be surprised at how that experience will help to make your golf game even better and take you up to the next level.
Excellent. Excellent. And so when I think about just like the trifecta, you have like, you talk about the balance across multiple aspects, like your mind, your body, but also the food you eat. Are you also telling people like things that they could do better around performance or just helping them improve in general, live a better life?
Yes. So I do have a background as a yoga therapist, which gives me an opportunity to kind of approach things from an Ayurvedic holistic approach. And I like to sit down with my clients and say, all right, we're going to look at you as a whole person, because what happens is, you know, we'll go to the person to help make my golf swing better, or we'll go to the person because my shoulder hurts, or we'll go to the person because I need to lose 20 pounds and I want to go on this crash diet. But if we don't take into account everything that's going on with you, mental, the physical, the lifestyle, your environment, you're just going to keep cycling through the same things over and over. So I do encourage people to eat well, but that's based off of me understanding what is it you're doing, what type of eating needs to support what you're doing, what's your life like, what time do you wake up, what time do you go to sleep, you know, all those things in between. So it's a real holistic, complete, what some people like to say that I am using you as a global package as opposed to a localized package, right? Because localized means, oh, you came into the eye doctor to fix your eye, whereas opposed, oh, you came into me so I can say, oh, your eye's bothering. Oh, so what about your shoulder and what about your knee? And let me see you walk. Oh, let me see you sit down. Now tell me about your day. Now tell me about your mental and tell me about your food. So that is really how I try to approach it and get people to understand that they can have a complete package and walk away feeling, you know, inspired and uplifted and feeling better just overall.
That is so critical, because when we think about like, how do you pick a doctor? How do you pick a dentist? You're thinking about like bedside manner. And when it comes to like trainer and fitness, you want someone that's truly invested in your overall and holistic life. And so when you think about like the stories that are probably most exciting to you or transformational, what are some of the scenarios that if you wanted to share that you were like, yeah, I do this. I'm good at this. I'm glad. Like, what are those reaffirming moments? Share a few.
So one was a gentleman that I just, you know, mentioned when I said, you know, he was taking my program Symmetry and realizing, okay, I got to give this yoga thing a try. That was very uplifting to say, wow, okay, I believed in myself, but to have someone really see it and push for it. And not just any person, but a 70 something year old man that decides to completely step out of his comfort zone and do something different. And do this online because I'm not with him in person, and nor can I even be with him because he lives in Ohio. He's in a whole nother state. So that was very reaffirming. I've had an opportunity. I'm also, not only do I like golf, but I also like to run. So I've had an opportunity to train folks to run as far as marathons, and just watching individuals get off the couch from doing nothing and not being able to run legit for 10 minutes. And transforming them through their mindset, through yoga practice, through watching them, looking at their food journals and inspiring them to say, okay, let's make some of these adjustments. And now watching them go from, remember that day when you couldn't run for 10 minutes to here you are now you're on a 5K. And now you're asking me, can you help me get to a 10K? And now you're like, okay, now I want to do a half marathon. And now your next step is a marathon. It just really makes me feel good to know that people trust in me. And you're absolutely right. Relationship is key. And when you can have a good working relationship and feel comfortable with someone, I personally feel the sky's the limit for what you're able to do.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Because when you talk about the marathon, I saw that one of your goals was to like, was it to run or to ride from New York City to Montauk? Was it running, yes, or riding?
It was riding. So I like to cycle. I like, as you can see, I like activities, right? I also like to cycle. And one of my goals is to ride my bike from New York City to Montauk, which is about a 100-mile ride. So.
Okay. I feel like people do, are those the century rides when they're doing like 100 miles? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even want to ride in a car to Montauk. So I can't imagine being on a bike. And for people that are from New York, that are not from New York, you should Google that. It's far. It's far.
Yeah, it's far.
So tell us more, like if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking about getting into exercise and you want to do one thing that is going to improve it, is it cardio? Is it yoga? Like if a person is not super active, but they know they want to improve their golf game in some way, where would you direct them?
If you want to improve your golf game in some way, I would honestly say go do something outside of what you're normally doing. So if you're already doing a lot of cardio or you're already doing a lot of weight training, then go do something that puts you in a space where you're like, I don't know about this. So make it yoga. If you're already high into yoga, then go do some type of cardio, some type of strength training, because you have to change your mindset. And when you're able to change your mindset and you're able to see little switches start to go off, and now you're like, oh, this is why I need this, or this is why this feels good, and this is how this can help me. So that is my biggest takeaway. If you're doing nothing, then just get up and start doing something. But if you are doing something, go do the opposite. Don't do more of what you're already doing.
No, I love that. I love that. So it's like a little bit of disruption, like get out of the habit of doing one thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay.
And then one other thing I noticed in your profile, you talked about being featured on a number of shows. And so tell us more about like what that experience was like and what that, what areas you were focused on then.
So I've had the opportunity of working for 19 years with a very well-known or possibly well-known national gym called Crunch, based out of here in New York. And through that endeavor, I had been reached out to write articles, or I was featured in certain articles. The last thing I was able to do was I was on Live with Kelly and Ryan and was featured doing a buff yoga segment, which buff yoga, for anyone who's never heard of it, is a yoga class that utilizes weights. So physically holding dumbbells in your hands, usually a light and a heavy set at different times, not at the same time, and working through poses. Not something I recommend you start off with if you're new to yoga, because you do need to have a complete body awareness to understand what you can and cannot do and what's too heavy for you in poses. But it's been really amazing to, sometimes when I sit back and I think, wow, I was on this television show, or I was able to, I did a warm-up event, Oprah, several years ago, had a big walk here in New York City, and I was asked to do a big warm-up for this walk that she had. And even though I wasn't like standing next to Oprah, just the fact that I was able to say, wow, I did this warm-up for this event for Oprah Winfrey. And legit, 5 minutes after I stepped off the stage, there she was. It's like, holy crap, you know, this is kind of amazing to know that my knowledge of fitness, which is not what I went to school for, right? I started off in medical, switched to business, worked in the business world, but being able, I guess my passion for the body is what drives me through the fitness world. And then my ability to connect with people and just really be compassionate. And again, like I said, meet people where they are. One of my taglines is, yes, you can, because I'm always going to find a way for you to do something. And I'm able, legit, for years to teach an 18-year-old and an 80-year-old in the exact same space, because I know how to figure out what is it that you need and what is it this person needs. So yeah, it's been great. And eventually I'm going to have more things that I'll be able to write about and get on more shows. So like this one.
Exactly. I love it. And I like the fact that I'm 1 degree separated from Oprah Winfrey because of you now. Thank you. So now it's like the 6 degrees of separation. Now I have 1 degree of separation from Oprah. So I'm super excited about that. Thank you for that. I also noticed that you had some other certifications. And, you know, one of the things I struggle with is that when you see people starting off, you don't really know like what they're certified in and what that means. And so like from your perspective, you've been investing in yourself, getting these certifications, but based on what you're seeing in the industry, what does that really mean for a person that's looking to start working out?
So obviously you want to have someone who knows what they're doing. There's degrees in, you know, exercise physiology and kinesiology. There's people who have specific certifications, whether it be group fitness certifications, personal training certifications, obviously yoga certifications, and small specialties in between. Some of the specialties that I have had an opportunity to do were like TRX. I'm a spinning instructor. I'm not currently teaching spinning, but I have spinning certification. And I've gone to the extreme left and was in a pole dancing instructor as well, which is also a whole different modality of body strength and awareness. So when you're looking for someone, you want to look at, yes, their level of credential, like, okay, what certification do they have, but also how long have they been doing it? And the other thing is, in all honesty, I've been in this industry for years. There are people who have certifications. There are people who have a laundry list of certifications, but just having a bunch of letters behind your name doesn't necessarily make you the greatest fit. And you could probably see that even with doctors and other things that you might be experiencing. So my suggestion is, yeah, look for the certs, but look for the years and then take on that initial consultation and feel the connection. Look at them, watch how they operate, see how they follow through, see how they treat you and how they, you know, make work to make you feel. And you'll be able to know if that's the person for you. Like, legit, go with your gut. And if your gut is telling you, I'm not too sure, then maybe trust it. But if your gut is like, hey, you know, there's something about that person, then it's probably a good fit for you. And you also want to make sure you have a person that listens to you. That's very important. Because there are people who I've watched train and you could tell that they're not listening to the person or training that person. They're training everyone as a cookie cutter situation instead of training LJ for LJ and, you know, training Sally for Sally and Bob for Bob.
Yeah, that's important because I feel like it's too easy to get injured. And if you're not listening to the person, there's a higher risk of injury. And so that's absolutely always a nightmare. And I asked about this certification because there was one that was on your profile and I was like, well, I wonder what this is. What is body art? Like I Googled it, but I still didn't quite get it. And I'm like, what is this certification? And for everyone listening, like I'm always curious about new things and new information. So I'm like, it said something about yin yang. I used to do Tai Chi. I was terrible at it, but I got through at least three poses. I just couldn't stay still long enough. But I really feel like if I could go back to standing and just being peaceful, I might be good at it. But tell us about body art.
So body art is a modality that blends a little bit of dance movement and inspired by yoga and flexibility stretching. It was created by a really amazing guy who is from Switzerland, but lived in Germany when I met him. And he came here to the US and had an opportunity to work with me and the company I was with, Crunch, at the time. And I got certified to teach this workout. And it just really kind of coincided with my yoga background. But because he also came from a very heavy dance background, so he had a lot of dance-based movement in there as well. And it resonated with a lot of people. So if you ever want to give it a try, LJ, or you know, if you want a little personal yoga experience, come on now. I'm just
feel doing. Like I might, you know, I like anything that blends with dance. And if we could do a lion dance, I am so with it. I can electric slide, keep it shuffled. I can do them all. So I would, anything that you say has to do with dance, I'm excited about. But let's talk more about a few more of your like fitness programs that you're offering. The Band-Aid. It's a play on words. So not Band-Aid, but Band-Aid. Tell us, yes, like, what is that? And how did you come up with it? I love the name.
So I personally think that I'm, you know, an internal comedian or like, you know, I'm kitschy. And I like that about me. You know, some people might be like, okay, but to me, it keeps me fun. It keeps me light. And therefore, that's why I came up with the name Band-Aid. It's using bands to aid in your fitness workout. A lot of people use, you know, if you YouTube or go on Instagram, you see so many different people with some type of band as their class. So I use these fabric bands where we work a full body workout in 45 minutes. And it's really good because it's going to take more intricacies as we move. And it also shortens how far you're able to move because you're now stuck inside this space. So instead of being big, you know, and making these big dynamic moves, now we got to be here, we got to be honed in, and we have to know, oh, I got to find more stabilization because I might be balancing and I'm using a leg with a band on, so I have to use more core work. And then as opposed to just feeling like, oh, I could just be everywhere, so it can draw you in. And that's why I created that class.
I love it because I think those micro movements, they're more annoying. That's why I can't stand Pilates, but like, no offense to the people that love Pilates. I'm like, I don't like these micro movements. They annoy me to no end. So I am looking at different things and different modalities for myself. And one of the things I noticed is that after COVID that I'm not as in shape. And I thought it was so important to have this conversation because people want to do big bang. Like I do not want to go and buy a Peloton bike and have another piece of furniture in my house. Like I really just don't want to do that because all it will become is like a clothes ring. Eventually it'll hang up all of my clothes and then it'll be things that I lean on it and I'll put everything near the door. All the things I need to take out the house will be leaned against the, like I already know what that's going to be because I just feel like I know myself. And so I've been thinking that I can't be the only one that needs this, that needs to talk to someone and hear like what fitness options allow me to kind of jump back in, but they look different after COVID. I know for myself, I'm not going back into like a gym. And when I think about going to run, I haven't run in like 8 years. I don't, running is like golf. Like if you stop doing it, it's almost like you're starting over. And
this is true.
you know, it's one of those things where you have your old memories of your body or your old memories of your skill and your new reality, which is, oh, I can't run to the corner or I can't swing and get onto the green anymore. Like, I just can't do what I used to do. So I want to go back to the yoga because I hate yoga. I'm one of those people. And I have to give the full confession. When you said that yoga was the best way or a good way, I thought, I am so sad to hear this, but I know she's probably right. And the more that I recognize that I can't really move and twist and all of a sudden my back hurts after I've swung too hard because I'm not using my core, that maybe yoga could be the solution. So tell us more about like the different types of yoga for the people that don't know. Like on your website, you talked about the vinyasa flow and you talk about like the rise up yoga. So tell us more about like, if someone is just starting, are they looking for some specific type of yoga? I mean, aside from going to your website and checking it out, and you'll have the link in the bio, you'll be able to see it and go sign up and get all the information you need. But if they were going to Google it and do some research, what would you be advising them on?
So I'm trained in the style of yoga that is called vinyasa. And vinyasa literally translates to mean flow. And basically, we're flowing from one breath to one movement at a time. And sometimes, yes, we're holding poses. There are several different modalities of yoga out there. The kind of trunk of the tree in the yoga world is what is called Hatha yoga. And some of you may have heard of Ashtanga yoga or Kundalini yoga or Anusaya yoga. There's Iyengar yoga, there's Bikram yoga, and the list goes on and on. But when you're looking for yoga practice, again, it's kind of like trying on a pair of shoes. You try that pair of shoes on, you see if you like those. Ooh, does that fit well? No, I'm not really feeling those. Then, you know, you move on to something else. Sometimes it could be it could not be the experience, but it could be the teacher, the person who's implementing the class. So you may need to try the style, but try a different person and see if that works for you. For me, being able to control the vinyasa with movement and breath was what worked for me. I have done other practices. I also incorporate some of those modalities because yoga comes from one main tree and a lot of it has a lot of the same branches, right? If I was a tree, right, we still getting the nutrients from here, even though my branch is way out here and this branch is over there. So I still will pull from some of the other practices that I know because they're all at the end of the day rooted in the same thing. And sometimes it may be that you'll need to be in a restorative place because you go, go, go. So we need to slow you down. Like I have a current client, she is perpetual for like wake up nonstop. And with her first session with me, I said, okay, so this is what we're going to do. And we're going to set up here. We're going to sit down and I'm going to put these pillows around you and do such that she's like, you just want me to sit here and be still in this pose? Yep. And breathe. Because we need to calm. I said, your fire is already ignited. I need to calm your fire down. We need to bring you down some, not keep throwing more gas on the fire and wonder why things aren't getting any better. So when you are looking for a yoga class, like I said, just start to explore. You may want to take a class with me. I welcome anyone to. LJ, I'll send you some promo codes as well so people can sign up for class for free if they like, if they want to. I would love to have you as well. And you can do yoga anywhere. So even if you don't want to buy a piece of equipment, you don't need a piece of equipment because all you need is yourself and a mat. And you can take that mat and go outside in the park. Right. You could go on a rooftop if you have rooftop access to where you are. You could do it in a hotel room. You can actually practice yoga while standing up. It doesn't have to be always on the floor. So there are very simple things. You could do yoga in a chair. There's lots of ways of accessing yoga. And that's one of the wonderful things about it. I mean, like I said, I come from 30 years of fitness, but the yoga side of my life has spoken to me to the point where I really wanted to incorporate it. And that's why I built that program Symmetry so that I can invite people hopefully to understand the benefits and realize, oh, there's more to this. Because yoga is not just a workout, which is what us as Westerners look at it as. Oh, I'm going to go, I'm going to work out and have this great body and have these, you know, Jennifer Aniston arms because she does yoga, or no, Madonna does yoga. But it's not just a workout, it's really a work in. And when we can work from within so much more will happen for us on the outside, and not just our physical outside, but the outside as we project in our work, in our family, in our golf game, and whatever endeavors we choose to take on.
Wow, that's powerful. You're a good salesperson for yoga. I don't know if I'm convinced, but I feel like I'm moving towards trying so that I can explore it more. And I think that I probably just had a few bad experiences. So that probably is what has discouraged me. And, you know, friends taking you to Bikram yoga is probably a bad idea, especially like when you don't like the heat. So tell us more about your YouTube channel.
So I started a YouTube channel probably about 5 years ago. Just because some friends were saying, oh man, I wish you were on YouTube, because I wasn't near them, right? Which probably how every YouTube channel got started. So I was like, I wish you were on YouTube. So on my YouTube channel, you will find that I have little challenge workouts. Sometimes I'm just doing specific body part dynamics. So I have like upper body workouts. I have a little bit of yoga. I have yoga for cycling. I have fitness. It's very well-rounded and gives people an opportunity to kind of play. Some of the workouts are just 10 minutes as opposed to some of them being 30 minutes. So if you'd like to experience me in your home or wherever you may be, I invite you to subscribe to my channel and join me for a little YouTube experience.
Wait, so tell us more about the challenges. You had a push-up challenge. Why is this a thing?
Because it is a thing. So people want to be strong. And they want to feel like, okay, I could do this. Not to mention, listen, at the end of the day, if you fall down, how are you going to get up? You have to push yourself up, right? So you want to be able to be strong enough to push yourself up. Now, granted, I don't think any of us, unless we're, you know, in an older state, are worried about falling down. But when we can have upper body strength, then why not? And then the upper body strength also will help us with the other strength, because you have to have a strong core too. So you'll see that I have ab workouts on there that really focus on developing core strength. And if we bring it back to golf, you need core strength when it comes to golf, when you come to how you're hitting that ball and how you're swinging. So yeah, give it a try. See what you think and how it feels.
Yeah, I mean, the push-up challenge, I always wondered why we need to do push-ups. I always felt like it's just such a useless exercise. And I feel like it's like, well, why am I doing this? Like, I get running, I get cycling, but push-ups I never quite got. And I realized that like, I'm not as well versed in like athletics and just the overall body and how to improve yourself. So if you had to tell me, the novice that has no clue, what is the one thing that the push-up will help me do better?
So it will also help you to stand up taller. So it will help with your posture, if that helps you to feel better about why you should do push-ups. And then I'll give you another tidbit. It also shapes your arms. So when you're wearing your beautiful sundresses and you're off the shoulder, et cetera, you'll probably be like, oh, look at my arms. And that can come easily just from doing push-ups.
Awesome. Okay, that's a good reason. I want Michelle Obama arms, so I would do a push-up just to have that. Do you have a favorite golf memory or insight that you had while you were on the course?
I feel my favorite golf memory was realizing just being outside and being able to shut out the outside world. I mean, granted, we were in Queens, which is not, you know, far away from my home, but I could have been anywhere because I was surrounded by nature. The grass was underneath me. The trees were around. I could hear birds, you know, chirping. I could see little animals scurrying around. And it just reminded me to enjoy life and to take a moment to step back. And then it also tapped into me realizing I also have patience with the game and not coming to it from like, okay, we got to go and we got to hurry up. And I understand why, you know, golf takes hours to play. I mean, it can take hours to play if you're just, you know, hanging out with your friends too. But it can take hours to play if you settle into that space. And that takes a lot of skill to find that patience and the ability to connect with where you are and let go of the outside stuff. And which brings me back to yoga, which is why you should come take class with me, LJ.
I hear it. And I think the whole audience, we just might need to just have a, you know, golf, yoga, and Taj class going
there
on.
There we go.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you, Taj, for joining us on this episode of Tease Me. This is season two, and the episode is dedicated to gems, and we're just talking about all the different gems. And it sounds like there are a lot of gems of wisdom you've dropped for us related to golf and yoga. And so for everyone listening, you'll check out the website and you'll see what Taj is up to and what she's doing. And if you want to take one of her challenges, yeah, I think you should.
So there you have it, Taj Harris, who shared the gym with us. Just get up. How simple is that? You haven't been working out. You haven't been moving the way you want. Just get up. It starts with one first step. As for yoga, I am still contemplating whether or not I will take it. I have to shift my mindset. And so when we think about getting fit and changing our game and changing our body and just making changes, we have to take a first step. And if you're out there looking for a trainer, focus on the connection. Certifications are awesome, but you want to make a connection with someone. And that's true with coaching. That's true with project management. You have to have a connection to the people. Relationships matter, and so does golf. Thanks again for joining us on another episode of Tease Me.